Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
We're in our 7 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. We got Mike, Bo, and Tiff in studio with you, and Bo Morgan is on the road getting set for the Falcons and Eagles in Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's usually what we would call a Falcons Friday leading into the game, but obviously with it being Monday Night Football, we get a chance to catch up with everybody on Monday as well. You'll also hear me and Chris Goforth tonight. We'll be on pregame starting at 6 o'clock. And we'll come on right after the game, and we'll give you 2 hours post-game to talk about what all we saw. Hopefully, we're talking about a Falcons win, or at least a Falcons team, Bo, that has made many strides since we had to talk about them in post-game last week.
Yeah, we want to see offense tonight. We want to see that rust gone. We want to see some touchdowns. I tell you what, if I have to talk about Kirk Cousins' ankle one more time or his Achilles one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. I was texting with John Fricky because Fricky was on yesterday, and me and Sprinkles Tiff were on our Sunday. We like to go on a walk before I travel, and so we're out on a walk, and I was listening to Fricky and John, and I were texting back and forth and talking about health, and I'm like, look, I think the guy's healthy. I think there was rust. I go, and I don't think that you did a good enough job making adjustments on TJ Watt. Ironically enough, we walk in the hotel last night after dinner, and there's a lady standing there in a TJ Watt jersey at the elevators, and Arch told her, that's not funny, wearing that jersey in there. settle this real quick. It was almost like a perfect storm, guys. You played an elite defense. I think you saw that yesterday, how good that defense still is, that Pittsburgh defense. They've got elite players at every position, at edge, in defensive line, linebackers. They've got elite guys in the secondary. That Pittsburgh defense is a top five defense in the league. You had a first-time OC. You had a quarterback who hadn't almost a full calendar year, who, for whatever reason, whatever you want to bring into it, did or didn't play in the preseason. I just think there were a lot of things that kind of perfect stormed you last week, and I hope to think that this week you've gotten the rust off. You got a defense you know that can be ran on, whether they will or not, and I think on the other side, your defense can continue the momentum they built last week.
So I do want to ask, and I know we talked about it earlier too. So you have A.J. Brown, obviously a significant piece of the Eagles' offense, out for this one. And since you kind of mentioned defense, we do have Nate Landman out for this one in this matchup, as well as Antonio Hamilton Sr. is going to be out for this game as well. I want to get to Saquon Barkley because he had over 100 yards rushing, 23 yards receiving, and a couple of touchdowns, as you mentioned, Bo, in that game. Against the Packers out in Brazil for their week one victory. He's had a ton of time off now leading into this matchup. And Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, talked about how because he got so many touches in week one, they really did kind of a load management for him during practice this week. So basically what I'm hearing is we should get a refreshed Saquon Barkley.
Oh,
does that awesome concern you guys?
Yeah, not refreshed. If this had been a Sunday to Thursday, I would still be concerned about Saquon Barkley, just from the simple fact that he's one of the more dynamic players that this team has seen in quite some time. And I will say this, the fact that A.J. Brown is out, I think lends itself to, you know, that group, Jimmy Lake and company, being able to look a little bit more at the run game and rolling down safeties and a little more run support. I think you would have been a little more hesitant to do that with A.J. Brown in the lineup. He is obviously the most physical wide receiver they have. But I think with him being out, maybe you're a half step quicker if you're one of those safeties and a guy like Simmons to roll down in the box and take care of that. But it has to start up front with those guys and that offensive line. I've talked about him until I'm blue in the face. Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, those guys up front are a very, very, very good unit. They might actually be the best unit on either team, offense or defense, that'll be on the field tonight. So it's going to be a tough task either way, Bo.
That's high praise considering the wide receiver core that Philly boasts. I know even with A.J. Brown out, but if healthy. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the – Jalen Hurts still ran the ball about 13 times last week. They're going to – so limiting him in his run game, that wasn't a great deal. But Saquon is a scary player when he's healthy. He hasn't been as healthy in his NFL career as – you would hope, but he's a $13 million player, and they're going to get their run out of him. I mean, that's the gist of it. They're going to get what they paid for out of him, and he is scary. Having A.J. Brown, to me, just not having him on the field opens it up because I think it makes your secondary immediately better, and I'm talking about your corners, whoever you have out there, whether it's Mike Hughes or Clark Phillips, and then obviously A.J. And Jahan Dotson's going to be asked to step up, and he's a guy who is a good player. But he didn't really pan out in Washington, and they kind of, bailed on him in a division trade, which you don't see a lot. But you do. You've got to find a time. You got to find a way for your big guys up front to slow down Saquon Barkley and put Jalen Hurts in a situation where he has to beat you in the pocket with his arm. And in the pocket with his arm, he has been a turnover machine his last 18 starts in the regular season. I'm a Jalen Hurts guy, but whatever he's not feeling comfortable with his legs at this point in time is affecting his accuracy and his turnovers in the pocket.
All right, let's flip to the Falcons offense then. And I know you said you started talking about Kirk Cousins and his whole foot, Achilles, ankle area, whatever you want to categorize it as. But the weapons that the Falcons have on offense, you didn't see a lot from Kyle Pitts last week, and then you got Drake London, too. So, I mean, what do you expect from these guys now that first game's out of the way? It's in the past. What are you looking for them to do against the Eagles defense?
Well, I honestly don't know. And Bo mentioned this earlier, Tiff. He said perfect storm, right? He's like, yeah, it's kind of a perfect storm last week. I would make the argument that the better use of words is saying that nothing looked the way you thought it would. And maybe that is a perfect storm, but I thought there would be more creativity in the way we utilize a lot of those guys. There was not. You didn't see much of Kyle Pitts, mostly because most of the second half he was chipping T.J. Watt on his way out, albeit pretty much ineffectively for most of the second half as well. So, I honestly don't know. You did not think that Ray McLeod would be your leading target guy or leading receiver last week. And the only thing that looked the way I thought it would was the run game on the first drive with Bijan running wide zone and then Tyler Algier and him in the backfield together. So, everything has to be better. Caleb McGarry has to be better. Kirk Cousins has to be better. His mobility has to be better. The creativity and the play calling has to be better. And guys just simply have to step up and do a better job. I think the one X factor I'm looking at, Bo, is probably Drew Dolman in the middle against these defensive tackles. I think if I was Philadelphia's defensive coordinator, I'd rush five, and I'd try to put Drew Dolman on an island with a Jalen Carter, and I'd go from there. And so that's a scary thought, too, if you're not going to run play action or do some of those other things.
It's funny that you mentioned that, Mike, and I didn't want to get – I wanted to kind of answer Tiffany's thing, but now you've took me another way. I was watching Bill Belichick, and I can't even remember who he was with on the ESPN show on Saturday morning, and they were breaking down what the Steelers did to the Falcons. And they were talking to Eagles, Falcons. But Belichick showed that what you just said is exactly what Mike Tomlin and that Pittsburgh defense did. They were bringing – they had five guys coming in. A lot of times they were showing five-man fronts against this Falcons offensive line. And they were basically saying, we're going to come at you. And – we're going to make you do – we're not going to allow you to double-team Cam Hayward. And so you've got guys like Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt and Keanu Benton and Ogunjobi just in Montrevious Adams. These guys are going one-on-one, and there were certain times where I don't give a damn what Kirk Cousins' ankle looked like or who was getting open where. Bergeron and Dolman, they had a couple of jailbreaks, Mike, where it looked like there was a screenplay. But the only thing was there was no back there to dump off to. So Kirk didn't step into a ball. And there were times where he did throw the ball in the receiver's feet, and it looked like he was short-arming it. But in reality, if he put anything on the ball, it's an interception. He was essentially throwing the ball away at receiver's feet. And I think it made people say, well, see, he has no zip on the ball. There was times where he looked like he was rusty and forced balls in areas that he can't do. The Darnell Mooney play where the ball is tipped and goes through his hands, that was one where it was a forced kind of rushed, I don't know what you want to call it, play from Kirk Cousins. So to y'all's point, they have to give time for these routes to develop and for guys to get open, but the receivers are going to have some urgency with getting open as quick. And maybe Mike, you can talk about Zach Robinson has some quick developing plays, right? Some quick routes, get the ball out of his hand really quick to kind of neutralize.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of stuff to discuss here. We're going to get to do more of that throughout the show. And when Dave Archer joins us, are you guys going to well, he might be joining us, maybe. We'll discuss that more. I know you're holding it down in Philly. When we come back here, let's stick with the NFL and discuss what's going on around the league. Injuries, scores, all that ahead on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are going in the huddle with the latest around the NFL. Tonight you have your Falcons and the Eagles for Monday Night Football. But if we back it up, Sunday night, you had Sunday Night Football, of course, and the Texans beat the Bears 19-13. That matchup, of course, we saw C.J. Stroud, who's in year two, and then Caleb Williams, who is just getting started his rookie season with the Bears.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud continues to do C.J. Stroud things. I thought he looked crisp. Some of the throws and some of the non-throws. I mean, he's so in charge of that offense that they have down there. So impressive. I love kind of the background they did. They had his, they interviewed his mom and, did a couple of other things with him. His mom was in the building. But the connection he has with Nico Collins, man, that can absolutely take games over. And I thought the Texans defense did a nice job stepping up to the plate. They're such a good young team that continues to look like they're on the rise.
And I could also mention, too, he did talk about the addition of Stephon Diggs to that team and how much he has helped him. So you look at the, of course, Nico Collins, 135 yards, so a monster game for him. Got to see some of that from the ground up last season when I had their game. So to see their connection develops, really cool. And then with Stephon Diggs again coming in, he had four catches for 37 yards. So, but again, him saying Diggs is helping him. I don't know, what say you, Bo?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of C.J. Stroud. He proved me wrong about who he was in that game against Georgia in the Peach Bowl, and he's never looked back. That was literally the moment where C.J. Stroud said, "Wait for it, Mike." He said, "I am him,"
stop, he is. Stop.
And look, Caleb Williams on the other side. I think Caleb Williams is showing some stuff, right? But it's been a struggle. You get sacked seven times. Not every sack is a coverage sack or on the offensive line, right? There are times where young quarterbacks will hold the ball. He also threw two interceptions. Shout out to the Texans defense for 15 points and the Bo Johnson Fantasy League team. But C.J. Stroud has –
he's always that guy, even from Ohio State. Like, I think his story is great, and I think what he's doing in the league has been phenomenal so far, as advertised.
Did you guys catch last night the tidbit, Bo, to your point, that the Sunday night – that crew does such a nice job last night of having those tidbits, and they kind of said that C.J. Stroud actually goes back and watches the Georgia game before he plays in the NFL. He actually goes back and watches highlights to give himself confidence. That was hilarious to me. I was like, man, I mean, I guess I'd go watch the same thing if I were him. That was really cool to hear.
Well, that was the first game. Like, he looked like a stud in a lot at Ohio State. That was the first time where I thought, holy blank, this dude could be a star NFL player because he can do all the things that NFL quarterbacks do. And he really has never had a Caleb Williams-type game like Caleb. To that extent, like, Caleb has had his first two games. Or Bryce Young, who at one point was averaging like 3.5 yards of completion after 25 attempts.
This is true. And also Stroud giving Caleb Williams kind of a special message, telling him to, like, hang in there. That was a good interaction that they had together after the game. Let's just bounce around the NFC South real quick. The Saints beat the Cowboys 44-19.
Beat the brakes off them.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I feel like the sky is falling probably in Dallas right now.
I think just to sum this one up, and I tweeted about this yesterday. Everybody expected the Saints to have the worst offensive line in the NFL. Just so many questions about that unit and what they will be and what they are. They absolutely dominated Dallas up front last night and did whatever they wanted to with that Dallas defense. Not a good vibe over in Dallas right now, but New Orleans feeling real good.
Yeah, that was impressive. Derek Carr looks really good. That offense looks explosive. They were an offense that didn't have a lot of explosive plays last year with Pete Carmichael as the OC, and now that they've moved on, they look like they've found that. Look, it's still early, though. I mean, there's some 0-2 teams that shouldn't be, and there's some 2-0 teams that I wish wasn't, and the Saints are definitely one that I wish wasn't 2-0, just like Tampa Bay.
Just like Tampa Bay, who had a rematch with the Lions from the playoffs last year. They take out the Lions 20-16. Baker Mayfield, again, proving – you can say he's that dude down there.
Yeah, golf with a couple of picks last night, and really Baker just kind of it's just weird. Like, he doesn't take over the game with his arms. It's just sheer determination. It feels like, you know, 5 carries for him for 34 yards, and he had a couple of scrambles to pick up first downs. But again, getting the ball into Chris Godwin's hands to the tune of 117 yards last night was the key to the game. Baker's just gritty, man, and this was two gritty football teams squaring up, and Tampa able to come away with a big victory on the road.
Yeah, a little time management issue for Dan Campbell up there as well. And I was, you know, I was talking to Arch. We were talking on the plane yesterday. We were watching games, and I'm interested as two people who have either played the game, to if you've been around it so much. Your dad was a coach and a player. Coaching makes such a difference in the NFL. The league is so close talent wise. Yeah, you've got some more talented teams than others. But coaching can make or break a team, and it might have been the difference yesterday in a Detroit loss or Detroit win, and it might be the reason they lost yesterday. Dan Campbell makes a mistake, and they don't make it on the other side.
It remains ugly in Carolina. Chargers taking out the Panthers 26-3.
I got one word for you. Woof. And we'll get a chance to talk about this one, fortunately, in the Man Up segment that'll be coming up at the top of the hour, but... I mean, it's just not good. Derek Brown goes down. This offense, you kind of thought, okay, Dave Canales did so many good things in Tampa last year. But the bottom line is they don't have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I know they went out and got Deontay Johnson and a couple of new offensive guards up front, but it seems like the same story as far as Bryce Young goes, to the point where you are, what, 18, 19 games into the first overall pick's career, and Dave Canales has to say in postgame, he is our quarterback, which is just absolutely brutal 2 games into the year to have your head coach sign off on. That's how bad it's been.
This is the wrong owner to be, 3.2 yards an attempt for Bryce Young. That is absolutely brutal in that game. This is the wrong owner to get blown out and to only score 13 points while, allowing almost 80? Wrong, because the David Tepper will fire you in a heartbeat. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about buyouts. Okay, can they stay inept till we get through there in early October?
I was thinking the same thing,
wow.
Dude.
I'm going to be selfish.
Yeah, same. Keep that thing rolling.
Well, you got to think someone like Christian McCaffrey is happy that he is no longer in Carolina. But bad news for him, he's been placed on injured reserve with that calf and Achilles injury. So he's set to miss at least 4 games, and that follows a San Francisco loss 23-17 to the Minnesota Vikings. So
yeah, this will be a spicy man up as well, Tiff. It will get coming up in a little bit. You don't want to miss that one. You don't want to miss Bo's prediction on that one, no doubt about it. But I don't think he was the difference, but you don't ever know in this game. But anytime you lose a talent like that, but we talked about it before the year, Christian McCaffrey, you know, the first overall pick in fantasy drafts and everything else. Last year, he was the healthiest he had ever been in his career. This year, kind of, reverting back to the mean when it comes to that. It's unfortunate. He's such a dynamic talent.
All right. When we come back here on the morning shift, we'll talk a little bit more NFL with your boy Justin Fields. That will be coming up. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. I know you have that in a mic'd up.
Yeah, mic'd up. It was a petty party for Pittsburgh yesterday. But I got a question for y'all. How many petty trophies have been handed out for the Pittsburgh Steelers? We'll talk about that coming up on the other side. Also, more Atlanta Braves, man. Disaster last night in the late innings. What to look forward tonight in that matchup with the Los Angeles Dodgers, that wraparound series, and the playoffs seemingly on the line every night at Truist Park. We'll catch up on the other side. It's Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Brandon Godden on the call of a Braves loss to the Dodgers 9-2 yesterday. So they will wrap things up today from Truist Park.
The Charlie Morton, obviously very good last night when you look at how he was able to deal with this lineup. Got Shohei Ohtani going down a couple of times early in the game. No homers or stolen bases for Shohei Ohtani yesterday, which a little bit big news as he tries to be that first 50-50 player in Major League Baseball. But obviously the Braves not able to take care of business down the stretch. When you look at just the debacle that was the Braves bullpen last night, and we talk all the time, Sunday games where they can't score 4 runs, all the above, it just came to fruition yesterday. I thought last night, Bo, that we would get a chance to see this team kind of rise to the occasion. I thought, man, you're going to win 3 in a row against the Dodgers. When we said Friday, maybe the best-case scenario was splitting and then couldn't get it done, and obviously things just absolutely fall apart, and that offense steps up to the plate against Iglesias there in the ninth.
Yeah, Arcia missed a grand slam last night. I think it was in the third or the fourth inning. They had the bases loaded with 2 out. I mean, I thought he got it. I really did. I thought he had it. I said, man, they're going to put a – that would have made it 6-0. And I thought that was going to be the ball game because Charlie looked locked in, and he was. Look, I mean, tell you something, you get 6 innings of only 2 walks with 6 Ks from Charlie in an earned run, that's a great start for 40-something-year-old Charlie Morton at this point. He's been pretty good lately. It's disappointing, but I'm not going to sit here and rip people because, you know, Iglesias has been so good. The offense at that point I think had scored – something like 16 runs in the series until last night's game. So it's just one of those deals. You got Max Fried going tonight. You need to go ahead and finish this series out. Take 3 of 4. It's important to do that because you're tied with the Mets, and they play Washington tonight, and I don't see that being a game they're losing.
But what did you think about Dylan Lee's game clock issues last night? I mean, just like I was sitting there going, of all times for the Braves to start having an issue like this with Dylan Lee on the hill last night, man, just an absolute, I don't understand. It was like a mental collapse out there watching.
Yeah, I don't, I don't like using the word it's unacceptable when I'm talking about these things, because I think we all have moments in our careers where we have just flubs, but it's kind of unacceptable in the middle of a pennant race in September in a close game, and he's one of the more reliable pitchers that this team honestly has. And it's just I mean, this guy's ERA has been phenomenal as a reliever this season, but it's unacceptable. You don't have this error, this margin of error for where you're at. And unfortunately, you have to be perfect, especially the pitchers, because the hitters are far from it.
Yeah, speaking of unacceptable, and the game was already gone by then, but the Jared Kelenic overrunning the single in the left field when you're trying to throw the runner out and the ball getting by him, I was like, okay, the wheels are falling off. All right, time to stop. The wheels are falling off, and it definitely did. Hopefully, like you said, get back on track tonight and get things done and try to take 3 or 4 from the Dodgers, which I would still count as a massive victory.
Mike, that's why you got guys like Max Fried in this lineup as starting pitchers, because he can be a guy that can come in and say, you know what, we're getting back to what we were doing before.
Yeah. All right, let's hit a mic'd up. All right, we're going to talk about game balls and petty game balls and game balls that should be handed out when you play well on the field, or game balls that should be just handed out because of what they might mean and what the victory might mean. Yesterday, the Steelers were able to knock off a battle of Denver, right? But you still have Justin Fields as the starter for Pittsburgh. We saw him here last week. They were able to knock off Denver 13-6 yesterday. He played okay. Who did not play was Russell Wilson. But it was interesting what Justin Fields had to say about the victory over Denver yesterday after the game. A petty game ball, guys. A petty, petty game ball. And it was petty. Russell Wilson did not even play. And I know that a lot of people do think he was done dirty, especially if you're friends with him right now. The first thing, though, the first pivot in my brain, and I know probably a lot of Atlanta Falcons people felt the same exact way. Were there any petty game balls handed out a week ago? You look at all the guys in that locker room. Let's look at Scotty Miller. Let's look at Cordarrelle Patterson. And let's look at Arthur Smith. I'm just going to ask you guys a simple question. Do you think that Arthur Smith and those guys got petty game balls a week ago? Bo, you can start with you.
Well, the only one that could have gotten one is Arthur Smith, because the only person that screwed over Scotty Miller during his time here was Arthur Smith. And the only person and Cordarrelle Patterson, I thought, had a good time here, except for the last season where he just didn't stay healthy. So no and no, unless Justin Fields has some kind of slight about not being drafted by Arthur Smith. So, I mean, Arthur Smith would be the only one that was eligible for a petty game ball in my eyes. But, I mean, I don't know. I understand the Russell Wilson one. I don't understand the other guys that got one. But the Russell Wilson one I definitely get, because he was, I think in some ways done dirty by the head coach there and the contract stuff. But Russell Wilson also, he also calls some of those issues maybe pre-Sean Payton getting there.
This is the first – I mean, I shouldn't say it's the first I've heard of it, but first I've heard of it probably publicly. So it might be something that you'd want to keep internally that you give out petty game balls. But I feel like it sounds kind of on brand for – Pittsburgh, and maybe, Mike Tomlin's kind of a shoot you straight, whatever kind of coach. And I'm sure it's something that brings the locker room together, knowing that you beat your former team. So I know you mentioned the other guys, Bo. You're not sure why they got one, too. I think it's just the general theme that it is your former team, and boom, you get a petty game ball. And I think it seems to be probably more of a fresh thing. Like if you played them next season, you're not going to get a petty game ball after that. Maybe. But I like more of the fact that it shows the relationship that Justin Fields has with Russell Wilson, because there were a lot of questions coming in here about who was going to be the starting quarterback. Russ won the job. He's been injured not playing. But I like hearing that Justin Fields kind of spoke publicly about having Russell Wilson's back.
Yeah, that's. I think it's an excellent point to kind of take away with, away from this. I would have to venture to wager that Arthur Smith probably did get a petty game ball a week ago, although I don't know if it was deserving. And I'll be honest, I do think Russell Wilson was done dirty in Denver. The way that they were like, hey, we don't want you to play, or we want you to change your contract, and everything else they asked of him, or that Sean Payton tried to get him to do. So I don't have a problem with it. The thing is, this happens more in the NFL than people understand. Not petty game balls, but how often do you see, like, you know, a team captain go out for the coin toss that was a former member of the other team, and they're like, hey, you go out for the coin toss today. Happens a lot. I saw it happen for the Falcons a lot. Mike Smith was, I don't want to call him famous for doing this, but Mike Smith was very selective about the guys that went out for the coin toss in games against former teams. So I think it's fine. I don't think it's out of bounds. I will be honest with you, though, Tiff, to your point, I am pretty sure that Mike Tomlin probably laughed when he passed Justin Fields in the hallway and said, hey, man, that ain't for everybody else. That's for us. All right? He'd keep that in-house. I don't know that he wanted that getting aired out, man. But I just thought that was very interesting to me, because the first thing I thought, Justin Fields was like, petty game ball, Russell Wilson. I'm like, let me think back 1 week ago here.
And I actually agree with you about the Tomlin thing. I will say this. I think it it maybe sheds some light that there might have been battling on the field for a position, but that Justin and Russell have a fine relationship. And it was probably a way of Justin Fields saying, you know what, that's kind of my dude, and I'm going to go get a word for him because he's not up here on this podium. He's not able to speak. I'm going to speak for him. Whether that's right or wrong, I have no issue with that, because I probably would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah, you just appreciate that. So I think it speaks volumes. When we come back, you'll get a chance to speak volumes. Wake-up call is just ahead, so we can get your thoughts. You are anticipating for the Falcons-Eagles matchup tonight.
Time to man up.
And we also will have an installment of Man Up. So who needs to eat crow today on some predictions over the weekend? It's the people on this show, just so you know. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.